President Bush stepped from rostrum to rostrum on the world stage this past week. Last Sunday in France, the president recalled the thousands of men who died 60 years earlier on D-Day. Later in the week, Mr. Bush was in the spotlight as leaders of the world's most powerful industrial nations met at the Group of Eight summit in Georgia. And this past Friday, he eulogized one of his predecessors, Ronald Reagan, an icon of the political right, whose economic ideas became a foundation for this administration's policies. Most signs indicate the nation's economy is improving now. New jobs are being created, wages are going up, and the retail sales are climbing. Conventional wisdom holds that a healthy economy should be good news for an incumbent president seeking re-election. That may not be the case this year, because the war in Iraq is also competing for the electorate's attention. Jonathan Weissman is a reporter for The Washington Post. He's researched the story behind the numbers.
President Bush's ratings have actually gone inversely down with the rising indicators on the economy. It doesn't make any sense, and a lot of people are scrambling around looking for explanations. They say, well, it's probably because voters see that the new jobs that are being created are not as good jobs. Their wages aren't as good, or they're feeling squeezed by rising tuition costs or health care costs. There's all sorts of explanations out there. But when you actually call or talk to voters and ask them, well, why do you not give President Bush good ratings on the economy? The conversation inevitably goes to Iraq and foreign policy.
But, I mean, it's interesting. The war seems to be a double-edged sword here. It's good for the economy, as you report. But even with a new Iraqi government, it still seems as if the president was a little premature in declaring the mission accomplished more than a year ago. So what has to happen in Iraq for American voters to feel more comfortable with the situation there?
Well, the news from Iraq, just the daily drumbeat of car bombs and assassinations and casualties. You know, if you go out into the country and you look at local newspapers or local broadcasts, every time a local boy is killed in Iraq, it's big news. And they keep coming up, obviously. And while people may feel a little better economically, in fact, I talked to people who said, I'm doing okay. There's this malaise out there. It's a pall over people because they really feel unhappy or, you know, even depressed about what's going on in Iraq. I talked to one guy who said the cost of his stainless steel bolts that he uses at his business have gone up like 150% in the last couple of months. Somebody else said, you know, the Iraq war has driven up the cost of the plywood that I was trying to use to build a new roof. In fact, the cost of these products has been shooting up, but it's not because of the war. It's actually because of China. The Chinese demand has been raising costs all over the place, especially for these kind of commodities. But people blame it on Iraq.
If voters are reluctant then to judge the economy by the statistics, the job growth and that, and rather go by their experience, the cost of plywood, the cost of bolts, this has then got to be a problem, a particular problem for Mr. Bush.
It is a very big problem. I mean, I don't really see how it's going to clear up for him. I mean, you know, it's very strange. I mean, the good news headlines have been coming for quite a few months now. We've had fairly good, robust job growth for the last 3 months. Early in the month, each month, all the headlines are blaring that, 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 new jobs were created. You would think that within the zeitgeist, people were feeling better, but it hasn't happened yet. And it's hard to imagine until the picture in Iraq clears up how exactly that zeitgeist is going to turn positive.
It's still more than 4 months until Election Day, even though it seems as though the campaign's been going on forever. But isn't it too early to draw any real serious conclusions about what's happening in the minds of the voters?
I'm glad you asked that question, because I was talking to a political scientist named John Zoller at the University of California, Los Angeles, and he said, you know, the people who decide very close elections are generally people who don't follow the news very closely, who haven't really made up their mind yet. And big events sway their opinions. What he said was, the event that will decide this election has not happened yet. In 1980, just before the election, President Carter had that disastrous failed rescue of the hostages in Iran. And, you know, most people say that Carter lost it on much larger themes. But Zahler would say, you know, it was a close election, and he may have lost it just on that event itself. So we have no idea what's going to happen between now and then. We really don't.
Washington Post reporter Jonathan Weissman, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.